Hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours, and I want to welcome you to our Saturday conference call. Gosh, I don't know how many I've done now, every single Saturday since about the middle of March. So we're keeping on and keeping on. Today, I've got two big things that I want to talk about. One of them is we've decided we're going to do a Black Friday special because everybody else is doing it. So my son said that we should too. So I'm going to tell you what our Black Friday special is. The other thing is I want to talk about when you're looking at moving to another country or when you're looking at creating a plan B, even if it's staying in the country that you're in right now, some important things that you need to take into consideration before you just pack your bags and move to another country. So first I want to start with what our Black Friday special is. And it starts right now. It starts today. What we're doing is anybody that buys the online guide or anybody that's already purchased our online Panama relocation guide, if you buy that, I'm going to do a special live stream on December the 1st, and it will be at 6 p.m. Central, and it's about four different ways that you can have an online business. And it's some ways that you can make some extra money whenever you move to Panama, or even if you stay right where you are, is how you can have an online business. All four of these ways would not require you to get a work permit if you move to Panama. You know, if you get a job in Panama, or if you start a business in Panama and you're selling products or services in Panama, you need to have a work permit. But these online business ideas are all things that I do or have done myself personally. Most of them are things I'm still doing right now. I know they work because I do it myself. And I'm going to talk about all four of the ways and specifics about how you can get started with it right away before you even move to Panama. You'll get that information on a live stream on December the 1st at 6 p.m. If you've purchased the online guides. It's a bonus if you purchase the online guide. And everybody that's purchased it will send out a special email to you with a special link to the live stream that I'm going to do on December the 1st. So I got that out of the way first, what our Black Friday special is. The next thing I want to talk about is some things that you need to take into consideration before you just pack up and move to another country. And I see we've already got a lot of people have pressed star 6 on their phone to get in line to ask a question. I'm going to finish this talk about creating your plan B before I start taking any questions. So if you think of a question while I'm talking, you're going to need to just jot it down because I'm not going to interrupt my talk to answer any of the questions. Just write down what your question is and I'll get to it after the talk. So I can tell you that even people that have lived in Panama, expats that have lived in Panama, because of COVID, they've decided to move away. So they had, some of them already had something in mind that they were going to do, like move back to whatever country that they came from or move to a different country. But they left Panama because they didn't like the lockdown that we had whenever this whole COVID thing first started. We had a severe lockdown, one of the most severe in the world, to where women could only go out for 2 hours a day for 3 days a week. Men could only go out for 2 hours a day, three times a week. Plus, you're required to wear a mask everywhere. Even now, we don't have the lockdown anymore. We only have a curfew from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. We can go out any day we want to. Just have to be home by 11 o'clock. But you still have to wear a mask anytime you're out and you're in public. Some people just don't like that, and they left the country because they didn't like it. I know some of you might not like how the COVID situation is being handled wherever you live, or just because of what COVID has done to the economy, maybe it's caused you to think about, well, maybe I need to move someplace else, or maybe I'll retire early, or maybe I'll go someplace where the weather's better. There's all kinds of different reasons to want to move to another location. But before you just pack up your bags and move to another location, there's some important things that you need to take into consideration. The first one is, how can you live in that other country? And we'll just use Panama as an example. How can you live in another country legally? most all countries have immigration rules. All of them have immigration rules. And some of them say that a tourist can only stay for 90 days, maybe 180 days that you could stay as a tourist. But if you're planning to move there long term for a year or two, or just move there indefinitely, then you're going to have to get a residency visa. So you need to do some research about what is the visa process, what is the cost, what's involved, what visa options are available. Of course, we have a lot of information about that on our website for Panama Relocation Tours, about what some of the visa options are here in Panama. Also, some countries have pretty strict rules about who can get a visa. In Panama, they've recently passed some new rules that said if you have a felony, drug charge, or any kind of felony that was aggravated assault with a weapon, then you're probably not going to be able to get a visa to live in Panama. So that would just mark Panama right off the list. It's good to know that before you just come to Panama and decide you're going to live here. But you need to research other countries. What are the rules in Mexico? What are the rules in Ecuador? What are the rules in Portugal? How long can you stay? So research what the visa rules are and what some of the restrictions are. And, you know, when I was first researching a lot of different countries that I could move to, I actually went and visited a lot of different countries. I did research on the visa and all kinds of other things, the weather, the cost of living, all those things are important to check out. But two things that a lot of people overlook when they're reviewing a country is what's the economy like there, and also what's the government like there. In some places, like Nicaragua, it's pretty much a dictatorship in Nicaragua, whereas other countries, it's a republic, or it's a democracy, or it's a democratic republic. So you need to research, you know, what's the government like? How does the president get elected? How long can they stay in office? What about the Congress? Those are all things that should be important for you to understand on what it's going to be like. Also, the strength of the economy. Because of COVID, many countries have really run into some financial problems. Of course, every country's had a lot of extra expenses that they were not anticipating because of COVID, and a lot of people have been unemployed. A lot of them have gone back to work now in Panama, but for quite some time, people were unemployed. One of the things that makes Panama unique, that their economy unique compared to other countries, is they have so many different sources of income. Yes, they have the Panama Canal, and it continued running every single day during this whole pandemic, but they also have the largest ship registry in the world. They have exports of copper and fruits and vegetables. They have corporations that people have set up that have annual renewal fees from all over the world. So there's a lot of different ways that Panama makes money. But if you're looking at other countries like Ecuador or Costa Rica, how do they make their money? What are their sources of income? For some countries, tourism has been their big source of income. As much as 25 or 30% of their income comes from tourists that come to the country. Well, guess what? With COVID, tourism is way down in a lot of countries. So make sure you research how they make their money and research how this pandemic has impacted them. Some other things to research is the weather. I know a lot of people move to Panama because they say they don't ever want to see snow again. They don't ever want to shovel snow again. And I moved from Texas. I didn't ever want to have an air conditioner again. That was one of my criteria and looking for a place to move to. But do some soul searching on your own and decide what kind of weather do you want to have in a place that you're moving to. If you're going to move, you might as well have a place that has the kind of weather that you really like. So research what the weather's like. Also research what the prices are like for rentals. The real estate agent websites, a lot of those just carry the more expensive things. There are certainly many other things that are more affordable, but most countries are also on Craigslist. So you can research Craigslist Panama, Craigslist Ecuador, Craigslist Costa Rica, and Craigslist is where the owner usually posts the things that they have for rent or that they have for sale instead of it being a real estate agent. So check out the prices. These are all things you're going to do before you pack your bags and go to the other country. Check out what the prices are going to be like. And I get this email. We get probably 300, 400 emails a day. And a question that comes up often is, what are the marijuana laws in Panama? And marijuana, even medicinal marijuana, is illegal in Panama. So that's important to know. If you use medicinal marijuana now, or if you like partaking in recreational marijuana, you need to find out what the rules are in the country that you're considering moving to. Marijuana, of course, like everywhere, is readily available here in Panama, but it is illegal. And I sure wouldn't want to be the one that got caught in possession of some marijuana here in Panama, because I've seen pictures of what the jails look like, and it doesn't look like it would be any fun at all. So those are all things that you can check out. So how can you check it out? How can you find out that information? Our online Panama Relocation Guide, if you go to Panama Relocation Tours and click at the top where it says Online Guide, it has all that information. It has information about the government, information about the economy. It has information about all the different popular areas and what the weather's like there, what the prices are like there. So all that information is available in our online Panama Relocation Guide. We also have information about the different visas that are available, what the requirements are, what the costs are for getting a visa. Some places it's very, very cheap to get a visa. Other places it's very expensive to get a visa. So these are all things you need to find out before you go. So those are just the things that are easy to get the research on. Some other things are just going to require that you do some soul searching on your own. And these are things like, for you personally, how are you going to feel about moving away from your family? And how's your family going to feel about you moving to another country? You might want to sit them down and have a little talk with them and say, I'm thinking about moving to Panama. I'm thinking about moving to Mexico, or whatever it might be. And just see what their reaction's going to be. And also take into consideration, how long would it take if your family had a medical emergency and you wanted to get back to be with them as quickly as possible, how long is that flight? You know, if you lived in Europe, it could be a very long flight for you to get back to your family. It could be an expensive flight to get back to your family. So think about, how long is the flight? What is a typical cost for ticket cost to go from point A to point B? If it's pretty close, like in Panama, it's about a 2.5-hour flight to get from Miami to Panama City. It's about a 4-hour flight to get from Houston, Texas to Panama City. If it's a pretty close flight, then you're probably going to be in a situation where your family will come and visit you pretty often also, and you can go visit them easily. But if it's a really long flight that takes 9, 10, 12, 15 hours of multiple stops along the way for your family to come and see you, I can tell you right now, you're not going to have family that's going to come and visit you very often. And it might reduce the numbers of times that you can go back and visit with your family. So take that into consideration. Also, if you have some pre-existing medical conditions, you absolutely need to check out, what are the hospitals like in the area? Do the doctors speak English? What's the typical cost to go see just a doctor, just a routine doctor visit? What does that cost? We've talked about this before. If you take medications, you need to find out if the medications that you take are going to be available in the country that you're moving to. One of the new things that we've added to the online Panama Relocation Guide is we've identified two pharmacies in Panama that they will let you send them a WhatsApp or call them, and you can say, I take this and this and this. Do you have it, and what does it cost? So that information is available in our online Panama Relocation Guide. But it's important to know if your medications are available. I can't tell you how many people that have moved here only to find out that the medication that they take either is not available or it's very, very expensive in Panama. Most people find out that their medication is much less than what they were paying before, but some medications are going to be more. So if you're on, if you have chronic health problems and you take medications, it's a good idea to find these things out before you make the move, and our online Panama relocation guide can certainly help you do that. Now, in Panama, we have a two-tier healthcare system. You can go to the public hospital, and there's no monthly fee at all to be in the public healthcare system. Some countries, once you become a resident, you have to pay a monthly fee to use their public hospitals. Whether you ever use it or not, you still have to pay that monthly fee. So find out what are the hospital situation. In Panama, we have public hospitals and we have private hospitals. The public hospitals, there's no monthly fee. You just pay as you go. It's $2 to see a doctor, just a regular doctor. If you need a specialist like a cardiologist, it'd be $5 to see a cardiologist. But if you saw that very same doctor at the private hospitals, it's going to cost more. It would be about $15 to see a doctor in their private office or at the private hospitals, and $40 to $50 to see a specialist at the private hospitals or at their office. But if you have chronic health conditions, it's important to know what those costs are going to be. Also, are you going to be able to get insurance? In Panama, we do have, you can get international health insurance that covers you anywhere in the world. If you travel a lot, maybe during the pandemic, you won't be traveling so much, but if you usually like to travel a lot, you can get international health insurance, but you can also get insurance that covers you only in Panama, which is probably all that you really need. And then you can just get traveler's insurance when you're planning to travel. But some of the insurance companies in Panama, they will exclude certain pre-existing conditions at least the first year, and then they'll cover it 50% the second year. So you might want to talk to an insurance company, and we have a list of all of those in our online Panama relocation guide, but talk to them and say, these are my health conditions, am I going to be able to get insurance? If so, what's it going to cost? We also have information about the cost of Panama-only insurance in the online Panama relocation guide. Now, we really encourage everybody to rent for at least the first 6 months. 12 months would be better whenever you move to Panama. And no matter where you're moving, we encourage you to rent first. Don't rush into buying. But you need to find out if you did buy property, can you buy property in the country? What are the property rights? As a foreigner, do you have the same rights that a citizen would have? Are there any restrictions on foreigners buying property in the area? So that's another thing to check out. And I can tell you from experience, when I was a teenager, I lived in Germany and I became fluent in German in a couple of months. I was fluent in German. But when you're in your late 50s or 60s, picking up another language just is not as easy as it is whenever you're a teenager. So for many people, moving to a place where there is English is spoken a lot, where you don't have to learn another language, that's important. And it's not that way everywhere in Panama, but there are certain areas in Panama where there's a high concentration of expats and English is widely spoken. Coronado is one area. Boquete is another area where wherever you go, whether it's the grocery store, the pharmacy, the bank, doctor's offices or any of those things, they're going to be there, they will speak English. But that's not so everywhere in Panama, and it's not so in every single country. So for many people, they're worried about that language barrier of not being able to speak the language. There are many places that you can move to in the world where there's a high concentration of expats that have moved here, and in those places, English is widely spoken. So seek out those places if you're concerned about being able to communicate. The other thing that's so important, and this is another one that's just, it's not etched in stone, but it's something that you're going to have to be able to determine if you can adapt to it. When you move to another country, whether it's in Europe or Panama or Mexico or Chile or Argentina or wherever you move to, the way they do things are going to be different. No matter what it is, it's opening a bank account is going to be different. just going to a doctor's office is going to be a little bit different. They just handle things a different way. And some people, they just, it upsets them. They get nervous because everything's not exactly like it was back home, wherever back home was. So you need to do some soul searching and think about, am I going to be flexible enough and have the attitude to be able to just take a chill pill and calm down and be able to integrate and be able to adapt to this new culture and this new way of living. That's important for any plan B that you might possibly have. So let me see what else that I have written down here. I made a bunch of notes for today. Once you've determined all these things and you know that, okay, I've got these two countries or these big three countries are at the top of my list, then it's time for you to plan a visit to go actually check out the countries, because you can look at lots of YouTube videos, you can do all the reading, you can learn about all of these things, but it doesn't replace actually going to visit. And I don't advise that you do all that research and say, yep, this is the place I'm moving to, and just go ahead and move there. I think you should plan a visit for at least a couple weeks. If you can, a month would be even better, to go visit the area and check out the towns that you've researched that you think are best for you to move to. And you might want to do that for two different countries or even three different countries, if you can afford it, before you make the final decision on which one you're going to move to. So once again, our online Panama Relocation Guide can help you with that visit. We have information in there on how you can do a self-guided tour in certain towns. Like if you were going to go to Volcan, where would you stay? What's the weather going to be like when you get there, so you know what kind of clothes that you should pack? How are you going to find a rental if you want to go see what rentals look like? Where's some expat hangouts? Where are some grocery stores and some other stores that you might want to check out in the town? So we give you a whole list of things that you might want to check out, so that you're not just wandering around like a lost puppy whenever you get to the town. It'll be a more productive time for you to check it out. And if that still seems a little bit intimidating, if you don't want to rent a car and drive around, we also offer the private tours. They're only $200 a day to rent someone that lives in that town, that's lived there for a long time, and they know every square inch of it, and they can drive you around and explain the different neighborhoods, what the microclimates are like. They can take you to, they can say, well, don't go to this pharmacy, this one has a better selection, or this grocery store is better than that grocery store. And they'll actually take you to those places. They'll make sure that you get to meet some other expats that live in the area that have lived there for a long time, so you can just get their take on everything. So either way, you could do the self-guided tour, or you could hire a private tour guide just for a couple $100 for the day to just really show you the ropes on how everything is done. Hopefully you've seen some of our YouTube videos recently where we've interviewed some people that went on a private tour that talked about what they got to see and what they did. Each one of them, I think we have three videos up there, each one of them is different. And the reason for that is because all of our private tours are customized to accomplish the exact things that you want to do or see while you're in the town. So one guy, his name was Lee, probably seen his video, he wanted to get his bank account open and get a visa while he was here. And the private tour guide held his hand and helped him get all of those things done while he was in town. Another person was really interested in seeing not just rentals, but houses for sale. Also, just to get a feel for what does the house look like? Is it going to have the amenities that I'm used to? What do I get for my money here? So the private tour guide made all the arrangements for them to be able to do those things. So whatever it is that you want to do, just communicate that with a private tour guide, and then they will help you do it. So how do you get on a private tour? When you get the online Panama Relocation Guide, one of the sections in there is called Hire a Guide, and that's your private tour guide. So the information is in the online Panama Relocation Guide. We did have their emails up, but Panamanians are kind of notorious for not replying very quickly to an email. The best way to contact anybody in Panama is with WhatsApp. If you're going to live in Panama, you have to learn how to use WhatsApp. So I recommend tonight, go ahead and install WhatsApp on your phone. Just go to the Google Play Store or however you get apps on your phone. Maybe watch a YouTube video about how to use WhatsApp so you'll be familiar with it. And then the best way to contact the private tour guides or other people in Panama is actually with WhatsApp. WhatsApp is only going to work with their cell phone, not the landline. By the way, in Panama, all landlines have only 7 digits. All cell phones in Panama have 8 digits. So when you see a phone number and you say, oh, wait, this has too many numbers, know that that's a cell phone because it has 8 digits. And the country code or the area code for the whole country is 507. It doesn't change for every single province. So those are all the things that I think are important for you to take into consideration. I did make a bunch of notes on the things that I want to talk about. And when I put the replay up of this call, I will list all of these different things that I talked about so that you can mark it off on your list and say, yes, I checked this, yes, I checked that. Once again, you can do it on your own, or we have it all in the online Panama Relocation Guide for you to easily find everything right there. So I guess the other thing I think I talked about is research what the COVID rules are in the town. Some places, you don't even have to have a COVID test to get into the country. You don't have to wear a mask when you get into the country. And if you want to go to a place where you don't have to wear a mask, you need to figure out where that is. It would not be Panama. Other places like Panama, they require that you either present a negative COVID test as soon as you come into the country, and it has to be not more than 48 hours old. If it's older than 48 hours old, they're going to require you to retest at the airport, and it'll cost $50. And then when you're in the country, anytime you're in public or any stores or anywhere, you have to wear a mask. So if you don't like wearing a mask and you want to live someplace where you're not forced to wear a mask, then you need to mark Panama off the list. See what I'm saying? You need to do the research and all these things before you just pack up and move to another country. We don't know how long this pandemic is going to be with us. Maybe they'll come up with a vaccine. Hopefully, countries don't force people to take vaccines, but some of them might. And if they do say that you have to take a vaccine and you really don't want one, what's your plan B? What are you going to do if you're living in a place or a city or a state or a country where they say everybody has to take a vaccine? Are you going to stay and go ahead and take it, or do you have a plan B? What are you going to do? This is what you need to start thinking about now, on what you're going to do if the situation changes where you are. If maybe you lost your job and there's just no new jobs to be had anywhere, what are you going to do? What's your plan B? If they require you to take a vaccine and you don't want to, what's your plan B? So if you're ready to retire and costs are just way too expensive where you are and you know it's going to be hard to be able to afford and you don't want to keep on working, what's your plan B? What are you going to do? There's other places where you can live in this world where it's much, much more affordable than it is wherever you are right now. So I just want all of you to start thinking about, instead of waiting until the last minute, you need to start thinking right now, what's your plan B on several different scenarios that could potentially happen. I have a plan B. If things drastically changed in Panama, I love Panama. I can't imagine ever leaving this country, but I even have a plan B on what I would do if things drastically changed here, because you just don't know what the future holds. I wouldn't go back to Texas where I came from, but I have a plan B on where I would go to. I think it's important for everybody to have a plan B. So with that said, my 30 minutes of talking, I'm going to open it up for 30 minutes of questions. Tonight, I have something cooking in my oven, and my timer's going to go off in about 30 minutes, so it's not going to be one of those two-hour marathon phone calls. I'm going to do 30 minutes of questions, then I'm going to have to call it a night. Also, let me remind you that our Black Friday special is everybody that's purchased the online Panama Relocation Guide will be invited to a private live stream video that I'm going to do about how to have an online business where you can make a significant amount of money just working from home. You set your own hours, you work when you want to, and I've got four easy ways for you to do that. So my first question is, Friedland, my regular on Saturday, how are you doing today?
Good. How about yourself? How's things going down there?
It's cold. It's like 68 degrees, and I'm about ready to freeze to death.
Well, I'm sure that oven is waiting for you to open it up so you can get the goodies out of it. So enjoy your meal.
Yep. I'm not used to weather this cold. So anyway, it's going to we've got about 10 more days, and summer's going to be here in Panama, and we won't have this cold, rainy weather anymore.
Yeah, it'll start heating up for you. That'll be good. Got a couple questions for you. What documents do we need to get authenticated by the Panama Embassy here in the States before we send them to Panama?
It depends on which visa that you're going to get. But the primary documents are your FBI report or your national criminal report. If you're married, you need to have a certified copy of your marriage certificate, and that needs to be authenticated also. If you're applying for the pensionado visa, then you need to get your Social Security or your pension letter authenticated. If you're not applying with Social Security, but you're applying with a pension instead, there's additional documents that you'll need from the company that's administering the pension, and those will need to be authenticated.
Right. When it comes to the Social Security, you can get that if you're online. If you have your online account with Social Security, I think there's a place in there where you can get an authentication letter.
Not really. Letter. You need to call the Social Security office and say, I'm requesting a Form 2458. Please mail it to me, and they'll verify your address, and then they'll mail it to you, and it'll be a certification of what your Social Security is, and it'll be signed by someone. So you need to request Form 2458. You cannot get that form online. You have to make a phone call to your Social Security office to get it.
Gotcha, fine. How about the banking documents? Is any of the banking documents need authenticated?
No, okay. Banking documents need to be authenticated.
Okay. I've tried Google and stuff, but I'm looking for different companies that are in the different towns like DeVid and possibly Santiago and Chitre and stuff. Is there any kind of search engines that I can go to get like maybe yellow pages of that town to find out what businesses are in town and stuff?
It's kind of hard because a lot of businesses don't even have a website. So if they don't have a website, then you're never going to find them on Google. In our online Panama relocation guide at the very top, there's a link that says directory. And in the directory, we have a list of hardware stores, electronic stores, veterinarian offices, doctors. So we have a lot of that information in the online Panama relocation guide. But it's very, very hard to find that information just by doing a Google.
Right. Okay. Thank you so much. Enjoy your dinner.
Thank you, Freeland. And my next caller is Gail. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. I saw your email about Multibank changing their requirements for opening up a bank account, and you said that you were checking the other two banks. Have you heard back from them at all?
I have an appointment with them on Monday.
Okay. Just wait and see.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
Soon as I have the information, I'll put it out there.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Next caller is Erica 732.
Hey, Jackie. This is Eric. A couple of questions. I heard there were some changes coming to the Friendly Nations visa, or at least they're trying to increase the requirements. Do you have any updates on that?
Yes, I do. I just sent out an email about that in the last week, actually. What happened is a group of immigration attorneys met with the immigration director, and they said, you can't make these changes now. It's the middle of a pandemic. And people wanted to come down here, but they couldn't get down here, and some of them have already sold their house. So immigration has agreed they're not going to make any changes at all right now. And if they do make any changes in the future, they promise that they'll give a six-month notice. And they'll say, okay, these are what the new changes are going to be, but they won't happen for 6 months. So that would give you time to get to Panama and get grandfathered in under the current rules that we have right now.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you.
So bottom line, there's no changes right now.
Thank you. And the other question is regarding the pensionado visa. Is there a resource or list of the different type of annuities that could be used to qualify for this?
Not a single one. They don't accept annuities.
Oh, really?
Nope. They never know. Okay. Well, they used to. Since 2012, they have not accepted any annuities. So it has to be either Social Security, a government retirement, military retirement, or pension from a job. And it can't be a job from a company that you owned. It has to be that somebody else owned the company. It's administered by a third party, but no annuities. They don't accept 401ks or IRAs or any of that stuff.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate all you do. Thank you, Jackie.
You're welcome. Next caller is area code 817.
Hi, Brian and Cindy here in Texas. My husband is a professional jazz trumpet artist, and we were wanting to know if, we know about the Boquete and the Beach Jazz Festivals, but if there were any specific clusters of expat musicians that we might want to look into hooking up with.
Well, right now, musicians are kind of shut down because of COVID. We usually have live music at all the restaurants and bars almost every single night of the week, but they're not having any of that right now. It's not allowed. The main clusters of musicians are in Panama City, Coronado, and Boquete.
That's pretty much it then.
Yep, that's it. You know, there is like in Pedici, there's this place called Smiley's, and I think on Tuesday night they have a guy that sings and plays the guitar, but it's not like a band. And over in Vulcan, there's a place called the Wandering Sloth, and it used to be on Friday night they'd have, you know, a couple people singing and playing a guitar, but it's not like a big band. So we have, for the music where there's multiple musicians that are involved, you're going to have to do Boquete, Coronado, or Panama City. I'm sorry. Somehow or other, I lost that call. Next caller is David.
Yes, actually, you answered our questions prior to you taking questions, so thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome, David. Thanks for being on the line today. Next caller is Michael. Go ahead. Michael, I've unmuted your line. You can go ahead. Michael, I'm going to come back to you because I'm not able to. You're unmuted, but I'm not hearing you right now, so I'm going to come back to you in just a little bit. Next caller is Thomas.
Hi, Jackie. Can you hear me all right?
I can hear you, yes.
I wasn't sure if I had my phone unmuted. Two quick questions. We're going to be bringing our pets down. Obviously, the flight from Florida to Panama is not an issue. I was wondering about an ongoing flight from Panama City to David. Once we get through the vet and all that stuff at the airport, is there any issue with an ongoing flight then to David?
No, they're very limited right now. Copa only has flights on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, one flight a day. Air Panama does have one flight a day going from Panama. Maybe they have two now. I think Air Panama has two flights a day, but they fly every day.
Okay.
So it's just, you need to check with the airline to see if they have a flight. And unfortunately, it usually works out that whenever you come in, you're going to be stuck with spending the night somewhere in Panama City before you can catch your next flight. So just look at the flights for Air Panama and Copa on when they go from Panama City to David, I would say you need to give yourself at least 2 hours, 3 hours would be better.
Right.
Because of just getting your pet and COVID test.
Right.
And if you've got any luggage, that can take a while. So 3 hours would really be better with a pet.
Not a problem. We're not coming down until May, so things will, I'm sure,
okay,
will change by then.
Yep, it'll change. Yep. By then, we should have more flights. Yep.
The other quick question I had was with regard. I got in touch with one of your immigration attorneys there in Chiriqui, and she sent back a checklist of items that we needed. One of the things that I was curious about was, they said they needed a notarized utility bill, and then beside it said Panama. Now, if we haven't got a permanent place down there yet for the Friendly Nations visa, I'm sorry, I didn't preface that. This is for the Friendly Nations visa. Is she talking about a notarized utility bill from the U.S. then?
No. One of the banks, Multibank, just last week made an announcement that they are only going to open accounts for people that have you have to have a letter from your attorney that says you're in the process of getting a visa, and you have to either have a lease that is going to start within the next 6 months, or you have to have a notarized utility bill that you've already rented a place and that you're paying the utilities. Problem is, most rentals, the rents and the utilities are included, so you would never, ever be able to have that. But on Monday, I'm meeting with two other banks to determine if we can get an account open there without having all that silly stuff. So as soon as I have that information, I'll send out an email and let everybody know. But what she was talking about is that if you open up an account at Multibank, then you would need those things. I'm going to talk to the manager at some other banks and work it out to where we can get accounts at other places. Next caller is Alan. Go ahead. Alan, I've unmuted your line. Sorry, I can't hear you.
Yes, hi. This is Kathleen and Alan. Couple of questions. The pension auto visa, I'm not collecting Social Security yet. What is the amount that we need to have as a couple?
For a couple to get the pension auto visa, you need a lifetime income of $1,250.
Okay. And as far as bringing pets to Panama, is that difficult? We have just dogs.
No, it's not difficult. It's very time sensitive to bring your pets to Panama. Actually, if you go to Panama Relocation Tours and just do Panama Relocation Tours and do space and then type in the word pets, and it will come up with an article about shipping your pets to Panama and what's involved in getting them here. It's a time sensitive process. But just last month, I think we had 50 people that brought pets in with them. If they can do it, then you can too. So it's absolutely doable. Next caller is area code 781.
Oh. You.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, Jackie. Hi. Thank you very much for all of the information that you provided. We listen all the time. But I wanted to ask about electric cars. We have a SUV electric car. Do you think
there's no place to charge it in Panama?
No, but if we built our own infrastructure, wouldn't that be adequate?
I guess it would be, so long as you didn't go too far away from your own structure. But there's no electric cars in the whole country. Heaven forbid if it breaks and you need repairs. Nobody would know how to fix it.
But I thought that
Hyundai.
Well, it's a Hyundai car. Hyundai has a facility in state, and there's a bunch of electric buses being built in Panama City.
Those are only for the buses. They don't have any electric cars in the whole country. And there's nobody that fixes electric cars in the whole country. Not to mention, it's going to cost about $5,000 to get the car here, plus you'll have to pay an 18% tax.
But I thought that because we're bringing in a hybrid, the taxes would be let go.
Nope, they don't care about that. You still got to pay the taxes. Okay. They don't. There's no ethanol gas here. There's no electric cars here. We have leaded gasoline, not unleaded gasoline. It's a higher octane. The lowest octane you can get is 91. So the cars in Panama are very, very different. They also don't have emission controls and catalytic converters in the cars in Panama. So if you bring a car down and a mechanic sees those things in it, they won't know what to do with it. So it would be very, very, unless you know how to fix it yourself, you can get the parts yourself, and you have your own charging station, it wouldn't be a good idea to bring an electric car. Next caller is area code 832.
Hello, how are you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling in today.
I'm just calling because I've got some questions about optometry and eyewear. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to figure out if it's a good idea to get my eyewear before I leave the United States, before I leave Texas, or wait and get it in Panama.
Well, I really can't answer that question because I don't know what it costs. And I haven't been in the States in so long, I don't know what things cost here. I can tell you that a friend of mine just got brand new frames, brand new lenses, and it's the kind that they turn like sunglasses when they're in the sun. I don't know what that's called. And it was $135 for everything. So it would probably cost more in the U.S., right, or Canada.
Okay. Well, I don't know. It depends. It's starting to, at that price, it sounds like it's similar, depending on where you go. So I had another question.
I don't know. I had my eyes fixed, so I don't wear glasses, so I really can't answer your question about if it's cheaper here than it would be there.
Okay. I also had another question about cell phones. Is there one model that's more popular than the other, you know, iPhone versus Samsung, or when it comes to getting accessories, or does it matter?
A lot of people use it. Not too many people have an iPhone except for expats. Most Panamanians are going to use the Samsung, and all the parts and bells and whistles are readily available for Samsung here. Next caller is area code 951.
Hi there, Jackie. Thank you for taking my call. Okay, so I'm on the backup list, and from what I understand, we get the same equivalent to what the online guide is if we go on the tour?
It's the other way around. If you go on the tour, you get a lot of information. For 6 days, every single day, it's like a rolling seminar of us teaching you things about how to get your pets into the country, how to buy a car, how to get health insurance, how to find a rental property, what to watch out for, what questions to ask, just lots of information. All that very same information that you would get on a tour is in the online Panama relocation guide. So first we created the tours, and then because of the virus, we created the online Panama relocation guide so people could go ahead and do the research to create their plan B, so that whenever the borders did open up, that they would be very well educated to know how to move here. So everything that we do on a tour, it's in the online guide.
And it's updated and stuff like that if things change?
I update it every single, sometimes it's twice a week. I'm making a different change to it. And when I do make a change, then I send out an email to people that have purchased the online guide to say, you know, I just changed this or I just added that, so that you know what things have changed in it. I've talked about this Black Friday special we're going to do a, let me get a drink of something. Hold on.
Sure, go ahead.
Sorry about that. My throat was getting dry. So I'm doing a live stream about how to do an online business. and that you can run from anywhere, and that's going to also be included in the online guide. What I would like to start doing is once a month, I'm going to do a live stream about a variety of different topics, and it's only going to be available for people that do that buy the online guide. And so that'll be additional content that I'll be adding on there that is all relevant to moving to Panama.
I see. Okay. And then one more question. Last week you talked about traveler's insurance, and did you send something out?
I never did finish writing that article. I had just one thing after another that happened. I spent a bunch of money to have a backup electric system installed at my house, and it doesn't work. Uh-oh. So we had one day that a tree fell down on the electric lines, and it was like 12 hours that we had no power because the tree fell down, and it took them a while to get it done. So I was dealing with a company that installed the backup power, you know, calling the electric company about it. And then yesterday, when I thought I was going to finish that article about 3 o'clock yesterday, because we've had 30 inches of rain in the last 2 weeks, 30 inches of rain. So all these trees, their roots are just sitting in water basically. And some of them have just fallen over on electric lines. So because of my backup power system didn't work and no electricity, I couldn't get any work done for about half of the week, it seemed like. But I am going to get that article done hopefully tomorrow, and I'll get it out there next week.
I'll just look for that. Thank you very much, Jackie, and I hope you enjoy your dinner, and I hope you get everything worked out with that electrical problem.
I am, and I have a bottle of wine waiting for me for after this call, too. So there we go. Everything's going to be good.
All right,
thank you. Okay. Next caller is area code 314.
Hi, this is the crazy lady from Facebook who's never been on the call before. Correct.
Well, welcome to your very first call. Thanks for calling in.
So I've heard a couple of things that I just wanted to clarify. Is it true that Americans are allowed to own firearms in Panama?
Yes, it's true. You cannot. You have to wait until you get your permanent visa, and then you can apply for a gun permit, and you can own a gun. I can tell you that 99.9% of the people here don't own a gun, but there are a few gun stores around where you can buy guns and ammunition. There's a couple of shooting ranges, not many, for practicing, but you can own a gun.
So we couldn't bring it in with us?
No, there's a ban. Right now there's a ban on bringing guns in, but once you get your permanent visa, then you can apply for a permit and you can buy a gun here. They may lift the ban at some point, but right now there's a ban on bringing your own guns into the country.
Okay. My husband requires consistent, good internet. Is that a thing in Panama?
It's going to be a problem. For example, I was just talking to the other gentleman that I paid a lot of money to have a backup battery system installed so I would consistently have electricity even whenever the power went out for some reason. Usually when the power goes out, it's for 5 minutes. But every once in a while, you know, somebody runs into a power line or a tree falls down on a power line, and it could be for quite some time. So I paid a lot of money to have it, the battery backup, and then it didn't work. So having a serious discussion with that company tomorrow. So when your electricity doesn't work, then guess what? Your internet doesn't work either. So if there's a power outage, you're not going to have internet.
Okay. Doctors, vendors, grocery store, is it more common to pay in cash, or can you use credit card, debit card?
So at grocery stores, if the place accepts them, all grocery stores accept debit cards, and I would say most people, especially with COVID, they're using a debit card or credit card to pay for their groceries instead of handling cash. Doctor's offices, most all of them take a debit card. If you're going to go to like the farmer's market, it's cash or cash. If you go to a department store like our Target or Price Mart, which is like a Costco, they all take credit cards. So you want to always have some cash with you. Some restaurants take credit cards. Some restaurants are cash only. So you need to always have some cash with you just in case. Next caller is area code 515.
Hi, this is Martha from Iowa. I have a question regarding the hospital system. I think I heard you say one time, and I just want to confirm whether it's true or not or whether I'm imagining it. I thought you had said at one time that a lot of times the same doctors might treat at both public hospitals and at private hospitals. I mean, not every doctor, but some of the doctors
It's true. The doctors do. So if you go to the public hospital and you see a cardiologist there, and it might not cost, $5 to see the cardiologist there, but that same cardiologist has a private office that you could see them at that private office. The big difference is at the public hospital, even if you make an appointment, you might have to wait 30 minutes or an hour before you see the doctor, whereas at their private office, if you make an appointment, you're usually going to see them in 5 to 10 minutes of when that appointment was.
Okay, great. Well, here we have to wait at least half an hour anyway every time we go, whether we have an appointment or not.
Well, I'm not used to that because I don't see any specialists, but if I go to the doctor here in Boquete, first of all, you don't even need an appointment, and you just go in, and you might have to sit for 2 or 3 minutes, and then you're seeing the doctor, and probably in and out in a little while, and it was $12 to see the doctor. That's without insurance. So, if you're seeing a specialist, it could take just a little bit longer if you're seeing a specialist. Just a general doctor, there's usually no waiting. You might have to wait 3 or 5 minutes, and that's about it. So you get in and out really fast to see a doctor, which is good, and no appointment necessary. With a specialist, you need an appointment. Next caller, area code 817.
Hi, Jackie. This is Carolyn. I was going to ask about whether you got clarification from Gilda on emailing our documents, but it sounds like you're going to try to get us a different bank.
I want to get you a different bank. Yeah, I don't like their new policy. And
okay.
I've told her that I'm going to have to take my business elsewhere. So,
okay.
And she's talking to management to try to get things changed. But for them to require that you have a letter from your attorney and that you have a lease agreement when you might not even be planning to move here just yet, I think that's all kind of ridiculous. So I'm going to talk to some other banks. That's okay because I have accounts at other banks, so I have a little bit of a clout because of the accounts that I have at other banks. Next caller, area code 719.
That's you.
Hello, Jackie. This is Manny and Ross in Pueblo, Colorado.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Muy bien. ¿Vas a beber vino tinto hoy con tu cena?
Anyway, thanks. Thanks for being on the call so everybody can understand us. We'll do the call in English.
Okay. Are you going to drink red wine with your dinner tonight? Because I know you are a lover of red wines.
Yes, I am.
Okay, good. We will toast you right along. Now,
all right.
The question here is that we are aware that the coronavirus vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna might be available as soon as in January for first responders and hopefully people in our age group, which would be level number 2. And so if we get a vaccine, because we do have, fortunately, an appointment for our annual checkup with our medical doctor here in Colorado, if we could get the vaccine and a certificate from our doctor, would a COVID test still be necessary? Our plan is to go to Panama mid-May through mid-June to experience Panama during the muggiest months and see if we can still bear Boquete in in the muggy weather. I know we love Boquete so far intellectually, but we need to check the weather. And one of the things that...
You have to do a visit. So let me tell you, Panama just announced there's a website called Pana Times, P-A-N-A-T-I-M-E-S, and it has all the news for Panama in English. So all of you might want to... And you, unfortunately, you can't subscribe to it. They do have a Facebook page. I think you can subscribe to their Facebook page. But there is a website called Pana Times, and they have an article in there that Panama has just paid the first deposit of $893,000 towards, I think it's, like $4 million that they're spending on a COVID drug. It's not the Pfizer or the Moderna. This is a different one. It comes from England, I believe. But they've ordered 2 million doses of it, which there's 4 million people in Panama. So until they actually have possession of that drug and until they actually start administering the COVID virus, they haven't written the rules on what it's going to be for people that have had the virus, if you need a COVID test or not to come in, or what the rules are. So until they have the test, until they have the vaccine, until they've started administering the vaccine, we don't know what the rules are going to be. And probably by May, I would think that they'll probably have the COVID vaccine available here in Panama also. But right now, I don't know what the rules are. But I encourage all of you to subscribe or just check out PANA, P-A-N-A, Times, and it has what's happening here in Panama. So I only have just a couple more minutes, and I'm going to be able to take just a couple more phone calls. The next one is Marty and Linda. Go ahead.
Oh, hi there. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. My question is, you had referenced your plan B early on in the call, and I was just curious, what is your plan B?
For my plan B, I'm going to Lake Chapala, Mexico.
Awesome.
And
thank
the reason... The reason I'm going to Lake Chapala, Mexico is I have a lot of friends that live there. It has weather that's very similar to Boquete, so I don't need an air conditioner. And, you know, I like the Latin American culture, so that's mine. But I've been to, and also just the way that they're handling the whole COVID thing, I like it better than it is in other countries. Just to, for example, in Colombia, I don't know if you guys follow the news for other countries, Colombia has 1,200,000 cases of COVID in the country of Colombia. They've had 40,000 deaths. We haven't even had 3,000 deaths in Panama, 40,000 deaths in Colombia. And then, you know, Ecuador, they've had a lot of deaths and a lot of problems in Ecuador. So seeing how all these different countries handle COVID and the virus, it should be a wake-up call for a lot of you. I would encourage you to research that whenever you're planning on moving to another country to see what's going on. Next caller is Jeanette. Go ahead.
Good evening. Finally, I love listening to your calls, Jackie. And I am the lady in Chandler, Texas, that we spoke on Facebook a while back. And luckily enough, I'm coming down next weekend. I'm going to spend the entire weekend. I know it. I'm so excited.
You know, I would tell you, bring me some Rotel tomatoes, but they have them in the grocery store here in Boquete now, so I'm in hog heaven.
I'm telling you, girl, the one thing that I'll miss will be Tex-Mex.
Well, you're going to probably have to make it your own because there's only a few good Tex-Mex places in the whole country. But anyway, there's a lot of Texans here, and we know how to make it ourselves.
Gotcha. I've got another Texas girl that's coming down at the same time. She lives in the Dallas area, and we're going to be on the ground definitely by December 1st for her, for me, and December 2nd for her. And I was just wondering if we could, you know, connect with you and buy you some wine one evening.
I don't know about wine or anything, but maybe. Send me an email.
Maybe.
And,
Okay.
Send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours and we'll see. You know, I've only, since this whole pandemic thing started, I've only been out to eat one time since March.
Bless your heart. Bless your heart.
I just stay home. I stay home.
Yeah, us too. Us too. We're doing the same thing, but it's not nearly as strict as you guys. I do have a question about the storm. You've had those two bad storms hit Central America, and I'm seeing some things on the on YouTube, and I just want to know how Boquete is faring.
So Boquete got a tremendous amount of rain. We've had about 30 inches of rain just in the last 2 weeks. And so, but we haven't had any damage. A few people had a roof leak, but there hasn't been any damage. There was yesterday a tree just fell over on some electric lines and knocked out three electric poles and a bunch of electric lines just because the ground is so saturated in water. So in Boquete, we haven't had any damage. But about 2 hours west of us in the towns of Cerro Punta and Bambito, they had extensive damage. Homes were lost. People have died. There's still 12 people missing. So they've had a lot of damage just 2 hours away. But I appreciate you asking about it. So I'm going to take one more phone call, and then I'm going to call it a day. Area code 281, go ahead.
Hey, Jackie, this is John from Tyler. How are you?
Good.
Hey,
this is like the Texas phone call. I've had a lot of Texas people tonight.
Yeah, I thought that lady said Chandler, which is right down the street. So
she did, and we had someone from 817 area code, which is Fort Worth, and 281 was Houston, so it's a Texas phone call.
Well, that's good. We'll be there and make some Tex-Mex. Okay, I'll make these real quick. I'm coming in September, and I would like to know, do you want us to arrive on the day of that the tour starts? And if you do, what time do you want us at the airport?
So what happens is the tour always starts on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. So that means you have to arrive on Friday. That we call it our tour check-in day. You arrive on Friday, and we pay for your hotel room on that Friday because we require you to be there on Friday. So you just need to come in any time on the Friday before your tour starts on Saturday.
Okay, perfect. And my last question is, I'm supposed to start getting Social Security sometime in 2021. I'm just waiting on an approval letter. Once Social Security starts, is there a time limit that I have to be drawing this for me to be able to get the paperwork that I need?
For getting the pensionado visa, you have to be actually drawing. You have to have at least received one payment from Social Security for you to qualify for it. So just because you have a letter that says you're going to get it in the future, that doesn't count. You have to be actually receiving it. And even just one payment is all that you really need. And then the process for getting a pensionado visa is quick and easy, and it is the most affordable visa to get because the government waives all of their fees for the pensionado visa. So I know we still have some other people that are on the line that had a question for me, and I'm sorry, but the timer's going off on my oven. My dinner's ready. That bottle of wine is waiting for me, so I can't stay on the call for a long time tonight. All of you that didn't get to ask your question, if you would please just send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours.com. And after I get through with dinner, it might be tomorrow. I might take the rest of the night off. So but by tomorrow, I will answer all of your questions if you send an email to info@PanamaRelocationTours.com. I want to thank everybody so much for calling in today. I know many of you have called in every single Saturday for our calls, and some of you, it was your first time to call in, but you've listened to the replays. So thank you so much for calling in today and spending some time with me on this call. I hope the information about having a Plan B has given you something to think about. And maybe make some notes about, you know, what do I want in this place that I'm going to move to? And what are the things that I need to find out? When you review the replay of this call, then it's going to give you some information on things that you need to investigate before you just pack up and move to another country. So thanks again for being on the call, everybody. Good night. I hope you have a good weekend.